Content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with an article from AARP, the magazine, and this one is under the heading of Upfront, the A-List, 7 Things Patti LaBelle Suggests Doing Now. 1. Don't worry about the words. When my band LaBelle released Lady Marmalade in 1974, I didn't know it was about a hooker until a group of nuns criticized the song. But no one song changed my life. I changed my life. 2. Take a chance. My choir director heard me singing background and said, "You should be a lead singer." I said, "No way. I'm not going to stand up in front and sing by myself." Then I did a duet with her son and got my first hallelujah. 3. Pay your dues. When I started out, we drove a station wagon from Philadelphia to Los Angeles, eating sardines or putting a hot dog on a light bulb between shows to keep it warm. Paying dues shows who you really are. You shouldn't be given things right away just because you have a great voice. 4. Ride through the hate. During the Jim Crow era, we went through things white artists did not go through, and it made us stronger. Black folks always just have to fight harder. 5. Live quietly off stage. I don't smoke, party, do drugs, or drink liquor. That's partly why I can still hit those high notes. But I'm not going to lie. I don't exercise except for walking my puppy, Mr. Cuddles. 6. But not too quietly. I stay up until 4 a.m. and watch TV or cook and clean. If I see a spider web, I start cleaning. And I like to play cards. My friends get so mad when I say, "Give me the money." 7. You can have it all. When my sister Jackie died, my husband and I adopted her 2 children. Then we adopted the 2 boys across the street after their mother died. And I have my natural son, Zuri. Taking care of them never stopped my performing, and my performing never stopped my taking care of them. And this article was as told to Rob Tannerbaum. Patti LaBelle, 78, is a Grammy-winning singer, Emmy-nominated actress, and cookbook author. She will appear in the Lifetime movie, A New Orleans Noel, premiering December 3rd. And there's another quote from her, "I'm still very shy, but if you put a light on the stage and give me a mic, I come right out. You should never hide your light." Now, continuing on with the magazine here, under Upfront and Go, Art and History, 4 new museums to explore this winter. A Museum of Broadway in New York, The Appeal. This is the first permanent museum to celebrate the Great White Way. The collection, the 4-story museum, will feature interactive experiences that explore how shows get made as well as Broadway history. It opens November 15th. Info at themuseumofbroadway.com. Then there's the National Museum of Military Vehicles in Dubois, Wyoming. The Appeal, it's the largest private collection in the U.S. The collection, the museum features more than 500 tanks, jeeps, trucks, landing craft, and other vehicles dating from 1897 to the present, plus 200 historically significant firearms. It opened in May. The information is at nmmv.org. International African American Museum, Charleston, South Carolina. The Appeal, the venue will tell the stories of the African American journey at a powerfully symbolic site, Gadsden's Wharf, where an estimated 100,000 enslaved Africans landed. The collection, through the artifacts and digital presentations, visitors will learn about the struggles for justice and equality. opens January 21st. Information, iaamuseum.org. Bob Dylan Center, Tulsa, Oklahoma. The Appeal, the three-story multimedia venue dedicated to the work of the legendary songwriter, is located in the same city as the Woody Guthrie Center. The collection, there are more than 100,000 pieces of Dylan memorabilia, including handwritten manuscripts, unreleased concert recordings, liner notes, correspondence, and musical instruments. And you can also watch clips of Dylan documentaries and performances and hear the earliest known recording of his classic, Don't Think Twice, It's All Right. It opened in May. The information is at bobdylancenter.com. The Car Color of Money. What to see? Want to see some green? ICCars.com found that vehicles in less popular colors tend to retain their value better than common hues. So, let's see. From the lowest to the highest, we have yellow, orange, purple, red, green, blue, gray, white, and black. And then the hot new luggage and underseater. Bag fees have been common for some time, but you may be surprised to learn that some airlines now charge as much as $75 for you to use the overhead bin. Enter this luggage trend, the underseater. Form follows function. These bags are small, usually around 16 inches by 14 inches by 8 inches, to conform with airline limits. Be aware, however, that this is your personal item. What fits? I managed to pack all of this. Two pairs of shorts, a pair of light pants, a swimsuit, workout gear, pajamas, undergarments, three tops, a sundress, a pair of flat sandals, a pair of sneakers, a skeleton kit of makeup and toiletries, a laptop, chargers, and a book. Wow. Several styles. An underseater can be soft or hard-sided and have two rolling wheels or four spinners. These bags typically come with organization compartments, including padded laptop sleeves, cosmetic bags, and exterior pockets. Cost consideration, prices for these bags can range from about $100 to more than $300. Now, last time we looked at the first section from AARP, the bulletin, The New Truth About Aging. And today we're going to move on to part two, money perceptions. We figure out how to live within our means. What choice is there? Older Americans hate becoming good at the psychology, or excuse me, let me start that again. Older Americans have become good at the psychology of money. Slightly more than half of people 70 and older view their financial situation as excellent or very good. These survey responses seemingly conflict with a mountain of data that shows how limited retirement savings are for average Americans. One interpretation of this is that many older adults, such as 56-year-old Jackie, are simply mastering the art of living within their means. I will have to live on a budget, she says. I don't think I'll ever be destitute or homeless. I have a big family that would always take care of me. I've been saving. Yeah, finances concern me because inflation's going up, but I think I can manage it by being stricter and not being so loose with my wallet. How would you rate your financial situation? Excellent or very good? And this is 18 to 39-year-olds, 31%. 40 to 49-year-olds, 25%. 50 to 59, 34%. 60s, 43%. 70s, 51%. And 80-plus, 52%. Not so fast. Finances do remain a big issue. While older adults may be fine with the current state of their finances, some do have concerns about the longer term. Although a minority, nearly 4 in 10 survey takers, 60 and older, say they are very or extremely worried that their money will not last. And only 16 to 18% of those surveyed reported significant improvements in their money situation over the past decade, despite Wall Street's bull market. You can see the financial uncertainty, says Peter A. Lichtenberg, director of the Institute of Gerontology at Wayne State University. So when thinking about aging and growing older, how concerned are you that you will have enough money to take care of yourself? Extremely concerned or very concerned? So this graph, let's see, 18 to 39 is 55%. 40s is 44%. 50s is 45%. 60s, 41%. 70s, 37%, and 80-plus, 38%. Younger adults don't grasp the financial realities of retirement. Meanwhile, younger adults' expectations for how their retirement will be funded look different from the realities facing older adults today. For example, some 37% of younger survey takers say they don't expect to rely on Social Security benefits when they reach retirement, while 94% of the oldest survey takers say they do rely on Social Security today. Likewise, 63% of the youngest respondents in the survey expect to use their savings, which is something just 39% of the olders are actually doing. And 24% of the youngest adults expect to use income from a part-time job in retirement, whereas only 8 to 15% of retirees 60 and older have part-time jobs. Most people in their 40s don't understand how important Social Security will be by the time they're 80. Whitman says 81% think they'll use a retirement plan, but they overestimate paying for retirement themselves. Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid are so critical to our health and our financial security as we age. And then, so we have another graph here. Do you use or expect to use Social Security to financially support your retirement? Those who answered yes, in the 18 to 39 age range, 63%. In the 40s, 72%. In the 50s, 76%. In the 60s, 84%. In the 70s, 95%. And 80 plus, 94%. Now, moving on to the Complete Guide to Memory by Centennial Health, we have a sidebar article here. Memory Hack: Improve Your Recall of High-Profile Public Events. The next time an especially surprising, momentous, or emotionally charged event is reported in the news, pay attention to who you are with when you first hear about it, as well as what you were doing and thinking and your emotional reactions. Choose a public event in which you are not personally involved, that which has a high importance to society at large. Using any available device, such as the audio memo function on your cell phone, record those details and your immediate reactions. Put the recording aside without playing it back. After 1 week has passed, make another recording of those memories without listening to your first one. Stay true to your personal memories as you privately create your 1 week anniversary recording. Make a similar recording on the first anniversary of the event, again without listening to the initial recordings. If you were able to do so, make a final recording of your recollection several years later. Mark the date in your calendar with a reminder. Once you've completed all of your recordings, find a quiet place to sit and listen to each one in order from first to last. Pay attention to any differences between your report of your original experience and how your description may have changed 1 week later, and then on the first anniversary of the event, followed by any subsequent recordings. Did your memory change from your initial description? Did it settle into a particular version of events or continue to change over time? Take note of the differences as a way to reflect on the mysteries of memories. Now, beginning next time, we'll start Section 4 of this book, Boost It, Remembering the important things is a cognitive superpower, but is also a skill we can cultivate and enhance. So starting next time, how we do that. Now back to AARP the magazine and an article under Healthy You, Good Habits That Might Age You Prematurely. When does something healthy become unhealthy? When you do it too much, to the exclusion of other choices. Here are five good-for-you habits that could ultimately hurt you. Like most of us, you've probably been hit over the head for the past few years with the power of habits, the idea that locking in some simple, healthy, everyday behaviors will set you on a course for greater well-being. And there's a lot of truth to that conventional wisdom. But even healthy habits can benefit from a shake-up. When you take the same handful of ostensibly positive actions day in and day out, it often means you're missing out on a variety of options and activities that could offer a wider array of benefits. We asked experts in medicine, nutrition, exercise, and more about the healthy habits they wish people would take breaks from, especially those who want to stay in tip-top shape as they graduate from their 50s, 60s, and 70s. Three anti-aging snacks. Nosh your way younger with this trio of workhorse foods. Almonds. They contain loads of vitamin E, an antioxidant that protects cells from damage. That helps explain why people who eat nuts every day live longer than those who don't. Berries. Whether they're blue, red, or blackberries, are loaded with the natural jewel-toned pigments called anthocyanins, which are packed with memory-enriching compounds. Greek yogurt. This common staple of the Mediterranean diet offers calcium for strong bones, protein to support muscle, and probiotics that nourish the gut microbiome to help with healthy aging. Now we have five habits here and why it's not as good as you think and what you should do. The habit one, you stay out of the sun. Your circadian rhythms are like a clock that keeps nearly every organ and system on a 24-hour cycle. Its strongest signal, sunlight, which tells you to start the day, cues your body to feel awake and energized, and regulates appetite, mood, and more. As the sun sets, your circadian clock releases sleep-promoting hormones. Among sleep's benefits, it cleans your brain of toxic byproducts that build up during the day, says Sarah Midlink, a professor of cognitive science at the University of California, Irvine. But people in their 50s and early 60s spend less than an hour a day on average in sunlight. So, at minimum, go outside every morning for 15 to 30 minutes, then again in the late afternoon or evening. Can't get out? Try 15 to 30 minutes in front of a light box at a consistent time early in the morning. 2. You eat nutrition bars. So-called nutrition or energy bars may sound healthy, but many of them are covert sugar bombs that pose as healthy foods. The Dermatologist's Guide to Whole Foods Younger Skin Diet says, prepackaged fruit juices and smoothies and healthy breakfast cereals are also high on the list. Many foods that carry a healthy halo can deliver more sugar than a person should eat an entire day. Excess sugar levels may also have been linked to high blood pressure and heart disease. And yes, even the best nutrition bars are still processed food. Instead, look at the label and add up the grams of protein and fiber. If the total is higher than the grams of total sugar, your bar is probably healthy, says the authors of AARP's The Whole Body Reset. Number 3, you drink when you're thirsty. By the time you feel thirsty, you are probably already dehydrated. Our internal mechanisms for triggering thirst become less sensitive as we age. Chronic dehydration can increase our risk for urinary tract infections and may even increase the risk of diabetes as well as colon and bladder cancer, says New York City-based integrative internist Dana G. Cohen, MD. Another issue, if we lose muscle as we age, we lose some ability to store water. You know you're dehydrated if your pee is dark. It should be a light straw color. Or weigh yourself daily. If you weigh less than you did the day before, it's probably water loss. So, drink enough water so that you need to urinate every 2 to 3 hours during the day. Or eat water. Plants are loaded with it, and their fiber helps keep water inside the body for longer periods. Number 4. You walk every day for exercise. Well, walking is great. It helps maintain strength in your heart, brain, and joints. But with age, people often ditch other workouts because they fear injuries or worry that they're too old to run or lift weights, says Claire Morrow, a senior physical therapist with Hinge Health in San Francisco. As you get older, you lose muscle mass and joint mobility at a faster rate, unless you strength train. Without strength training, the average person loses 3 to 8% of their muscle mass per decade after age 30. The rate steepens after 60. Over 70, work on your balance. Try walking backward, for example, 3 times a week. Or get at least 150 minutes a week of moderate exercise, brisk walking, water aerobics, or 75 minutes of robust cardio, jogging or swimming, and at least 2 days a week of muscle-building activities. And finally, number 5, you constantly wear supportive shoes. Arthritis can make it hard to take off our shoes, but wearing shoes all day deprives our feet of a chance to work. Our toes need to push into the ground to maintain balance, and our foot muscles contract to maintain balance and posture, says Emily Spickle, a functional podiatrist in Chandler, Arizona. Supportive shoes and insoles do most of the work instead of the feet, and thick soles rob the bottom of our feet of crucial sensory stimulation. Nerves send info back and forth to the brain, helping you keep good posture, stay balanced, and avoid falling. The more you wear shoes, the less your brain practices those skills. Plus, the nerves in our feet start to lose sensitivity in our 40s, requiring more stimulation for the same response. So, go barefoot at least 30 minutes a day, particularly when cleaning and cooking, since your movements are more varied. You're on your toes, bending, lifting, and so on. The author of this article was Leslie Goldman, who writes for Woman's Day, Real Simple, and others. Now let's look at pleasant daydreams. The odds of catching a ball at a major league game, 1 in 835. Teams use around 120 balls in a typical 9-inning game, which means Major League Baseball requires some 900,000 balls per season. To help you get the ultimate ballpark souvenir, follow these tricks from Jack Hempel. The 44-year-old collector and YouTube host has snagged them from every park, 11,659 balls total. Beat the odds. Attend batting practice. Many teams open the gates an hour before game time. If you're among the first to arrive, you may find balls under outfield seats. Early access varies by park. The Cincinnati Reds sell a $22 ticket that lets you enter 2 hours and 25 minutes before the first pitch. Go to the first game of a series. That's when visiting teams smack the most batting practice homers, Hempel has found. His theory? Players are gauging how much power it takes to launch balls in different locations. Plus, they haven't been hounded for days by collectors, so they're more likely to toss you a ball. Dress like the enemy. The visiting team has fewer fans in the park, so if you wear their gear, players notice. That's why Hempel brings 2 caps, one for the home team and one for the visitor, to every game he goes to. Ask players for balls. Step 1. Use their first names. And if you're a guy, urge your wife or grandchild to ask. Players respond better to women than kids. Look for things you share with a player, such as your name or a birthday, and be polite. Saying please goes a long way, he says. Habla español. Asking a Latino or Hispanic player for a ball makes the request in Spanish. Hample uses this. Dame la bola, por favor. Give me the ball, please. It greatly increases your chances, he says. Now, odds of finding happiness in your 70s, 90 out of 100. Joy increases with age. 27% of people ages 70 to 79 said they're very happy in an AARP National Geographic study conducted earlier this year. That's good. But a University of Chicago study notes that happiness levels in the U.S. are at their lowest since researchers began asking in 1972. Beat the odds. Spend on experiences. Money is more likely to buy happiness if it's spent on activities, a concert, a vacation, rather than a new TV. We get long-term pleasure from anticipating events and enjoying memories. Talk to strangers. We often feel happier after connecting with those around us, even if we don't know them, research shows. Focus on time. In one study, those who spent money on saving time, say by hiring a lawn service, were happier than those who spent it on stuff. And finally, odds of getting your book published, 1 in 1,000. Book editors are inundated with proposals, so rejection letters are much more common than Pulitzers. But a few strategies might help you sell your manuscript. Beat the odds. Keep it real. More commercial nonfiction is published than fiction by a massive margin, says industry analyst Jane Freeman. Popular genres include inspirational books, memoirs, and biographies. Share your receipts. Share your recipes. Cookbooks surged in popularity during the pandemic. Sales of baking cookbooks rose 42% in 2021. Do it yourself. Self-publishing accounts for about a third of e-book sales in the world's largest English-speaking markets. If you self-publish, still give it professional polish. Hire an experienced editor and a designer for an eye-catching cover. And these suggestions were by Gabrielle Baumgartner. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.